Hey guys, Pastor Jürgen here. I'm so glad you're tuning into one of our powerful messages that is guaranteed to absolutely elevate your life to another level. At Awaken, we only want to preach fresh, real, powerful to help you grow stronger in your walk with God, develop your faith so you can take more territory. I'm praying that God blesses you and enriches your soul as you listen to this amazing word from God. God bless you.
I just want to take a moment to prophesy. I was just in worship thinking about how sometimes the difficulty of life can turn our hearts hard. And the picture that I got was like hard sand. You ever try to like dig in hard sand? And the shovel won't go down because it's hard sand. And that was the picture that I got when I'm looking at hearts that get really disappointed through the trials of life. If that's you today, would you show me by just putting your hand up, just show God, you're showing God really. If your heart feels like hardened sand, that it's tough to love people, it's tough to expect, it's tough to believe, it's tough to even feel loved, like you're worthy of being loved. I feel God is bringing a breaking and a softening over your heart today. I see him just even, and it's not painful surgery. It's his presence that is bringing a softening over you today. I can see the disappointment dissipating and lifting off your heart. I can see dreams coming again. I can see a leaning in and a desire to want to be known and want to know others. I can see even just the difficulty of life not being the filter over your heart. I can see great expectation and faith rising in a belief that, well, if God's for us, then why not us? Father, I thank you for your provision. I thank you for your care and love for your sons and daughters. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on. Come on. The other group of people that I wanted to pray for, I don't know if you've ever have kind of expired the oil change in your car. If you have an electric vehicle, you probably don't have this problem. But sometimes you have plans to change the oil, but it's like, the schedule doesn't allow for it. And every time you get in the car and you go to turn the ignition, you're like, ooh, oil change. And then the dash light comes up, oil change. And you're like, the schedule doesn't allow for it. But then you get the oil change and you're like, the engine runs perfect. It's like a brand new car. Even if it's an old car, it's like a brand new car. It just needs some fresh oil. I feel God saying that there's some fresh oil that people need this morning. If that's you this morning, would you just lift your hands to receive fresh oil? And I wouldn't even mind if it was everybody in this place to receive fresh oil. I don't think God would mind either. Because he has a vastness of oil. He's a vastness of oil for you, cleaning out the contaminants and the old oil, the old mileage. It's like the old oil represents old mileage, old weight, like you haven't had a chance to just catch your breath. You're just continually gone and gone and gone, and you've been so faithful, but you're like, man, we just need something fresh. We need something fresh. Holy Spirit, I thank you, releasing fresh oil over your sons and daughters this morning. Fresh oil, fresh oil, fresh oil, fresh oil. Fresh oil to believe, fresh oil to move, fresh oil to live, fresh oil to love. In Jesus' name, I thank you for new beginnings. I thank you for a new season with fresh oil. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a clap offering. Come on, if you receive that, would you let him know you receive that? Would you give him some praise? Like you know you just received it. Like you know what, God, I know that you are faithful to give it. I receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, turn to two or three people, give them a high five. Grab your seats. So good. So thankful for our worship team, our production team. that gets up before I even have my first cup of coffee. They're already here working and preparing to set an atmosphere. Can we give some honor to our worship team, our production team? And it's not just today. They've been preparing weeks at a time to create an atmosphere for you and I. Well, if we haven't met, my name is Pastor Jesse. I'm one of the pastors here at Awaken Church. Such an honor to be with you today to share a message I think is a timely message that God has for you. But before I do, I just want to take a moment to honor our campus pastors, Pastor Samuel and Pastor Katie. They are some of the finest leaders you can ever hope, imagine, pray for. You know, they are really like, for Kat and I, they're like coaches. Coaches. The best people have coaches in their lives because they're like, I know I'm destined for something. I just don't know how to get there. The Deuce are like coaches that keep reminding you that, hey, God's best is for you. Come on, you're amazing. Hey, there's gold inside of you. Your best days are ahead of you. Not only do they keep leading us to lead forward, but they also just love us really well. And that's what we have in our campus pastors. Pastor Katie, Pastor Sammy, we love you guys. So thankful for you. I also want to honor our lead pastors, Pastor Jurgen Leanne. Man, incredible leaders that had a vision for you and I beforehand, before we even got here. That they left everything to follow God, because God says, I got plans for you in San Diego. So I want you to sell everything. I want you to step out into this place of inconvenience that requires faith and trust in me. And watch what I'm going to do for you. Where are we going, Lord? San Diego. It sounds like an awful place. They get here, and they're like, oh, this place is amazing. And they have surf and the ocean here. But they go out with a faith and a word. The first to go out. The first to go out and to bring something that God has planned for you and I. But I'm just so thankful for them. I'm so honored by them. When we came into this house, you know, we really kind of came with no label, no value or the feeling of value. But when we came in this house, we felt valued. We felt seen. We felt loved. And it really kind of set our future for a great blessing. So thankful for them. So come on. Well, I'm excited today. So I have just been so inspired by this thought of miracles. Miracles. That God's in the business of bringing miracles to our lives. And you would think of miracles and maybe luck going hand in hand. And I would say the difference between luck and miracles is knowing who creates the miracles. If you're not a believer, you might say, luck is over me. I'm so lucky. But if you're a believer, you're like, man, God's so good. He is bringing miracles over my life. This is one way you can describe a miracle. It's a surprising and welcome event that is not expected by natural or specific laws, and therefore can only be the work of a divine agency. Come on, even Webster has a problem with God. He tries to put him in a box. Agency. But he's God. He's God. So good. So the title of my message is The Game Plan to Being God's Miracle Worker. Come on, God's got an expectation. Not only do you step into miracles, but you actually help create miracles. That he's looking at you because you are made in his image and his likeness. That his authority and promises over you to bring miracles to people's lives. If you have your Bible with you, please turn to Mark 2, 1 through 12. We're going to read about the paralytic and what happened to him when he came into contact with Jesus. And it reads, and again Jesus entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that Jesus was in the house of God. He was in the house, and immediately many gathered together so that there was no room left to receive them, not even near the door. It was completely jam-packed. They were over occupancy. And he preached the word to them. Then he came to them bringing Then they came to Jesus bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near Jesus because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. I like these friends. They said, nothing's going to stop us. We're getting to Jesus. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed from the ceiling on which the paralytic was laying. Come on, there's some confident friends. There's some confident friends. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak of blasphemies like this? Who can forgive but God alone? But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he says to the paralytic, say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your home. And immediately he arose, he took up his bed, and he went in the presence of them all. So they were all amazed. They glorified God, and they said, we never saw anything like this. Who's ready for that? That their year, their life would have that caption, I've never seen anything like this. Come on, that is what I'm believing my year and my life would look like. You know, Jesus said that, hey, all these miracles that I've done, you're going to see miracles that you've never seen like this. I'm redefining those things. You know, that story, I really like that story because it's almost a little bit, if you read between the lines, it's almost like a sudden problem happened to their great friend. Maybe he was a roommate and there's five of them, but one of them just has like a back injury and he can't walk. And the other ones are like, man, why don't you pick up after yourself? Why are you being so lazy? Do your dishes, man. Come on. Oh, you need to help us help you get dressed again? Come on. You're really laying it down. This is terrible. And then they're going along their day, and they hear a story about the neighbor. Hey, you know the woman down the street? She just got healed. She just bumped into this guy named Jesus, and he laid hands on her, and she got healed. What's up with this guy? What's up with our roommate? Needs healing. You know, I just heard that same Jesus, he's preaching tomorrow. He's preaching at the house. What do you think if we just bring him along? And the paralytic is like, guys, I can't go anywhere. And I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want anyone to see me like this. I'm in my underwear. You know, when you're in so much pain, you're like, I'm not even getting dressed. Look, if I'm not brushing my teeth, I'm not getting dressed, people. Like, I don't want people seeing me in this condition. I don't even want you to see me in this condition, but we're friends, so you see me. And they're like, enough is enough. He's complaining. You can even feel the complaint in the room. Like, you know, and he's got to do dishes. He's got to pull his weight, you know. But we're concerned because he's our friend. All right. Well, how would we get him down to the church? Well, if he's not going to get out of bed, let's just take him in the bed. Each of us, grab a corner. Come on, we're going to take him. Everyone grab a corner. Come on, here we go. And he's like, guys, stop. Put me down. I don't want to go. It doesn't matter. If you're going to live with us, you're going. We're your friends, so we're telling you where you're going to go. We're not putting up with this anymore. If our neighbor Betty can get healed, you can get healed too. Come on, so let's just see. Look, if he doesn't heal you, then no big deal. But let's just see if he can heal you. And then they go, and it's like no one. There's no room. So it's like a door got shut up, and he's in the bed saying, see, I told you, this isn't meant to be, guys. This isn't meant to be. Just take me back. Take me back home. Come on, I'll go see the doctor. We'll do surgery. We'll do something. He's like, no. Look, there's a ladder. The same guy that said, why don't we just bring him in the bed to the house of the God, said, hey, there's a ladder. Come on, here, I'm going to get on the ladder. Here, you guys hold them up, hold them up. Now bring them up here. And they're bringing them up to the second story of the house. And they're like, there's no window up here. What are we going to do? Oh, there's a hammer and a pry bar. Okay, hey, I know how to do this. My cousin is in construction. I know what to do with this. Here we go. The panel comes off. Hey, we'll replace it. Don't worry about it. Just go with us. Come on, I can feel something. Can you feel something? I can feel something. Come on. Don't stop. Come on. Wait, you're taking off another panel? It's a bed, though. So you can't just take one panel. You got to take multiple panels. Now they're so far into it. They are so far into this thing. This is like, oh, we're going to get arrested. We may get killed. But you know what? There's something compelling us to go. There's something that is calling us to go. Can you picture that? Where they're like, okay, well, the panels are off. The people that are at the highest, they see the commotion. And they're like, what is going on? Jesus is talking. Stop. And they lower his bed into the sanctuary, just like it was over there. And Jesus said, oh my goodness, there's something unique about your faith. Well, your friend is healed and he's forgiven. What a beautiful picture. What a beautiful picture. I love that picture and I even love that interpretation, even if I'm off a little bit. But I kind of like the boldness. I kind of like the boldness of the friends. So I wanted to share with you a game plan for you to be like his friends. A game plan for you to carry into your future to bring miracles to people in your life. And I believe as you take this game plan, what's going to happen? God's going to position people in front of you that are going to have needs. Needs of the miraculous. Needs of breakthrough. Needs of healing. And it may not even look like it. It may look like, man, we got to take the roof off this thing to get it. But you know the game plan. You know the game plan. Okay, hey, my first point for you this morning. Are you with me? Yeah. Come on. Is you have to be in the house of transformation. I love it that Jesus was in the house. He was preaching in the house. That's where they went to get the miracle. That's what they took apart. They probably joined a volunteer team afterwards. Maybe the excellence team so they can repair the roof and make it excellent. But there's nowhere better than the house of God. You know, Kat and I came to Awaken Church 18 years ago. Newlyweds, new believers, not knowing anything. I had a Bible I never read. It was a big Bible, though, but I never read it. I knew of Jesus, but I didn't really know him. You know what I mean? But it was at the house of God that I learned about Jesus. It was a house of God that I could put my hand up and say, I want to receive Jesus. It's a house of God that I can get delivered from, that I can get a vision for in my life. It was a house of God that I learned to worship, that I learned to worship God. It was a house of God that I learned about bringing an offering to God, that I could bring my tithes to God. You know, our first building actually wasn't one that we owned. The Marriott owned it. It was in Del Mar, and we were renting one of their banquet rooms. But that's where we had our very first service. We were so important to the Marriott that they forgot about us the following week. And they double booked the space. The other party got there before us. So, like, what are we going to do? They said, Pastor Jurgen says, what do you have? And they said, we have a parking lot. Done. We'll take it. That's better than a banquet room. We're out front. Everyone can see us. Come on. Join the service. Come on. I love it. Unconventional. The house of God's going to get established anywhere. But what I love about it is the house of God isn't meant to stay the same size. It's actually meant to grow. It's meant to be a place for you and I, but then for you and I to bring other people to it. It actually reminds me, the only reason we met Pastor Jurgen and Leanne was because a military friend of mine met them in Virginia Beach. heard their story about, hey, we're moving to America to go plant a church in San Diego. After the service, he boldly runs up to Pastor Juergen and says, Pastor Juergen, I need your phone number. I have a friend, him and his wife just moved to San Diego, and they need your church. How did he know? How did he know we needed the church? He heard something in the spirit. He was part of the church. So he goes, well, if it's good for me and my family, it's got to be good for Kat and Jesse. So you guys need this. You guys need this. He gave me that phone number. I've never had a pastor's phone number before. I'm like, what do I even do with this thing? And all I heard was a whisper. It says, call it. Call the number. I'm like, what? What if he answers? What am I going to say then? I didn't know God was setting me up for a miracle. A miracle. You might look at me with my beautiful ankle showing. But our life has been transformed in this house. And it's been a daily transformation. It's been a yearly transformation. It's coming back. It's worshiping. It's leaning in. It's learning. It's being sharpened. It's being transformed. It's putting our hand up and say, hey, add us to it. Oh, we're doing this conference. Hey, we're going to it. Why are we going to this conference? Because we're going to receive something we've never seen before. Hey, why are we going to Hero? Well, because we want to receive something we've never received before. But we also want to bring people to the house of God. You know, what I realize is that everyone that comes to Awaken Church, you know what they are? They're invited first. And then those that become invited become part of the church that go invite more people. And so the house of God is actually meant to expand. And so when we fill it up, I love pastors that have faith. Hey, I can see us expanding. It's not a lot of things you want to expand, like your waist size. But the house of God you want to see expand because you see faith moving. Hey, my life has been changed. I'm coming to the house of God. Okay, great. Hey, I'm going to tell my coworker. Hey, Bob, you got to come to this church service. You got to come check this thing out. You and your family are going to love it. Expansion of the kingdom of God. The expansion of the kingdom of God. Come on, number two is being a friend. Number two of the game plan to be God's miracle worker is being a friend. Not having friends, like having inventory, but being a friend. I found being a friend cost me something. I found that being a friend means I have to go first. Being a friend means I have to be interested in others. Being a friend means I have to actually forgive the last friend that burned me. Being a friend means that, hey, I need to start doing life with people. I need to get deep with people. See, I love the paralytic's friends because they got to see him at his worst. He couldn't brush his teeth and he couldn't change his clothes. Do you have friends like that? Do you have friends like that can know you and you know them? Because being a friend means you get to transform people's lives. I'm thankful for a church like this because it's not just coming to worship and connecting with God, which is a really good thing. But part of what we do in this life is be a friend. That's why connect groups are so important. The moment the devil tries to connect to convince you, you don't need to be in a connect group. Man, you know so many people. Come on. You don't need to be in a connect group. You don't need to know anybody. Well, what if people need to know you? What if people need to know you? And you are so unique that God says, I want people to know you. If you never get out of that cave, if you never go to that connect group, people will never get to know you. Come on. Hey, the other thing that friends do is they pray for one another. I love men's prayer, women's prayer. You know, God said, hey, are you going because you're a pastor? I'm like, kind of. Isn't that a good thing? He goes, well, listen, when you go, go for yourself. Why don't you go for Kat? Why don't you go for Chloe? Why don't you go for Evan? Why don't you step in the center and get real? I'm like, God, come on. Cramping my style. Get real? Yeah, I want you to go first. I want you to tell the guys what you're believing for. I want you to reveal the guys that you're not perfect, that you're still fighting and believing for. You know, this scripture spoke to me. It was Luke 6:38. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put in your bosom. For the same measure that you use, it will be used back to you. I always thought that as kind of giving gifts and offerings and generosity. But one day God said, it's like prayer too. Come on. Hey, they're believing for a house. Come on, then let's pray. Come on. I want to give back. Come on. Oh, you're believing for your business to break through? Okay, come on. Let's believe for that together. Oh, you're believing for your marriage to be restored? Come on, let's do that. Give and it will be back. Give him back to you. I love Dr. Matt. He's so amazing. I think he came up with this. If not, he promotes it really well. Anytime he hears a God story that he likes, he does one of these things. He pulls it down. I love that faith. You know what? I actually think God honors that. I actually think God said, hey, give Dr. Matt some more. He keeps putting his hand up wanting to receive more. Give him some more miraculous. Come on, give him some more miraculous. Ah, I might need some water. Come on, come on. Do you receive that today? Come on. Come on, friends. They connect to one another. They reveal themselves, their desires. They also pray with one another. I find, you know what, honestly, it is easier for me to believe for somebody else than it is for myself. I've had a number of ministers and people say, it's like you never ask God for anything. I'm like, you're right. Why is that? I felt God say it's because you can see the ceilings, but friends can see the open heaven. You ever pray for somebody? You're like, I don't see the ceiling. I see an open heaven. You see an open heaven? Yeah, I can see an open heaven. But all I see is ceiling. I can see limitation. I can see like, you know, yeah, but you're stuck on the how. I'm stuck on the who. Come on. Come on. As friends, we see the open heaven. We see the open heaven to lead other people to break through the ceilings. Come on. Hey, the third thing in the game plan is that we have to carry a good report. We have to carry a good report. That's the word of God. They heard that God was doing miracles. They heard Jesus was on the scene, so they brought faith with them. You know, the word of God says that faith actually comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. If you want to believe God, you actually have to consume his word. I wasn't a big reader growing up. I actually would get tired reading. I think my brain was weak. But you read the word of God, it's almost like it comes alive. It's like, wow, that really happened? That's like a good movie. I'm so thankful for a church that teaches, hey, don't read it once in a while. Don't read it when you have to, you know, marry somebody or bury somebody. Read it when, you know, as a daily devotion. Build an appetite for it. You know, addictions aren't good, but I feel like there's some things you just got to be addicted to. It's like, I want to be addicted to the word of God. Because this is what the Bible says. In John 1, it says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God. Oh, sorry, was with God and was God. And he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. It's so interesting because we get consumed with so much information. But you know what trumps that information? The word of God. You know what sustains that information? The word of God. There's principles and laws and science and everything else. But the Bible says that, you know, all of heaven and earth can pass away, but my word stays steady, never changes, never wears out, never loses power, and itself is sustained. The word of God. Greatest thing is we can get more of the word of God, meditating on the word of God. You know, as you meditate on the word of God, you're going to start thinking different. You're going to start believing different. You're going to start applying different. Your prayers are going to go to a whole nother level. Lord, you know, like when you rose Lazarus from the dead, I want you to raise this person from the dead. It's actually time for dead people and dead things to be resurrected in San Diego. That I'm tired of this old thing in my life. I want to be resurrected. I want new life coming. There's a fire that gets put inside of you when you start meditating on the Word of God. Come on, so you gotta have a good report. You can't bring negativity. You can't bring doubt to a place of miracles, because miracles require faith. That's what happens with the Word of God. It's a fuel. It's like a jet fuel. That if you don't have the fuel, the jet's not going anywhere. Come on. Hey, the fourth thing is that we have to be filled with fire. I love this. I love this. Because that's what happened. That's what Jesus had. He brought power to bring healing to the paralytic. And the fire is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, I grew up never knowing if I could ever speak a language more than English. And I struggled at English too. But when I came to this house, Pastor Jurgen was telling me about praying in tongues. I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. He said, oh, when you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, there is a heavenly language that you get. I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about. And we're at a prayer meeting, and he goes, who wants to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And I never do this, but I put my hand straight up, and I was up front. I'm like, oh, man, I think I'm the only one? Come on. I wasn't the only one. Kat had her hand up too. But Pastor Jurgen prayed over me, and I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I started speaking in tongues. I'm like, yes, I'm bilingual. Come on, come on. I got a language for earth and a language for heaven. But what I love about praying in tongues is, even though it does, like, I don't know what I'm saying, but I can feel something happening. And so I'm reading the Bible, and then I'm praying in tongues. I'm praying in tongues, and I'm reading the Bible. And there's a faith that comes on, and the Bible talks about it's a heavenly language. It's not your mind. It's actually your spirit connecting with the Holy Spirit. I heard this great minister say, I can't believe, God, that you are causing me to travel all around the world ministering to people. I never thought I could ever get to this place before. How did I even get here? He goes, every time you pray in tongues, that's exactly what you tell me. Every time you're praying in tongues, you're telling me you want to travel around the world. You want to minister. You want to carry my power. You want to see people delivered. You want to see miracles happening. Yeah, every time you're praying in tongues, you're like, I didn't know that. I heard that. I'm like, I need to pray in tongues more. Come on. I need to pray in tongues. But we don't pray in tongues because we pray in tongues. We pray in tongues because it's a gift from God. The Holy Spirit is our helper. He's our counselor. He's even called our friend. But you can't see miracles without seeing the Holy Spirit, because he comes to move. But there's gifts that come with it, not just praying in tongues. There's faith, and there's wisdom, there's healing, there's discernment, the words of knowledge. There's gifts set for us. You know what those gifts are for? They're for other people. You're like, how'd you get into ministry? I don't know. I received this weird language. And all of a sudden, I got more things. And then I saw all these people that needed them. And then they got unlocked. And then they came to church with me. And then now we're in a connect group. And now we're all at Bressy Ranch serving together and ministering. And then I get this invite to preach. Your life is going to get transformed when you receive the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you. Come on, power comes. So amazing. Come on. So that's what we need. If we're gonna be miracle workers for God, we need to be in the house of transformation. We need to be a friend to others. We need to be a friend to others. Come on. We need the Word of God. We need a good report, and we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on, would you stand to your feet, please? Come on. You know, just thinking about this, all this is really, really important. But if you don't know Jesus, you need to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I was just thinking about this. I have a Sentry card so I can go to Mexico. Every time I come back from Mexico, they ask me, do you have anything to declare? I'm like, nope. What I found is having a relationship with Jesus is like declaring everything up front. I have some sin to declare. I have some wrongdoing to declare. And receiving his salvation is like a full declaration of your past, your present, and your future. Can you imagine that you go to the gates of heaven? Like, hey, do you have anything to declare? You actually have all this sin. Sorry, you can't come in. Well, yeah, I know, but you said, do I have anything to declare? Yeah. Yeah, you should have given this to Jesus while you were there. Because he does all the declaration. He gives you a pass for everything. But because you didn't, we can't handle the declaration up in heaven. It's here on earth we handle the declaration. If you're here in this place with every eyes closed, head bowed, if you need to declare to God and receive salvation, I want you to put your hand up and receive it. I don't want you to wait until your future where you need it. I want you to receive it today. Come on, come on. I see those hands in the back. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Anybody else? Thank you, thank you. Declare the whole thing. Lord, I want your salvation. I want your goodness. Come on, another second or two. Come on, thank you. I see your hands. I see your hands. Thank you. Thank you. The greatest gift you can receive is salvation, because God said he so loved the world that he gave his only son so that he can have more sons and daughters. Come on. Come on. Amen. Amen. Come on. Well, hey, let's pray together then. Let's pray to receive. If you already have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I still want you to repeat after me. But if you just receive Jesus, repeat after me. Repeat, Lord Jesus, I receive your gift of salvation. I declare everything from my past, my present, and my future. Thank you for making me a child of God. Thank you that heaven is my home. And while I'm here on earth, I'm going to build the house of God all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Wow, what an amazing word. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Hey, listen, for more information about our church, go to www.awakenchurch.com. Or subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already, and download our app. Our app is amazing. It is chock full of incredible messages, information about upcoming events, and you can even support our ministry if you feel inclined. We love to have love with us today. We look forward to seeing you again. God bless you. Live a life that is transformative. Bye for now.